Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. Well, I gotta hand it, man. That is a song that really sort of hits me. It reminds me of, someone who I once knew, and it makes me feel like sort of like a little Marlon Brando, like Stella, out there on Streetcar Named Desire. But, I mean, That was a really intense, really good song. And by the way, that's by my upcoming guest from her new album, Strange Child, Susan Tony. And also I want to credit to, in my intro, the collaboration and format by MT, of course, Masonic Temple. And do please check them out at myspace.com, Mastem, M-A-S-T-E-M. And I do have to say, after seeing yesterday, I have a sore throat from screaming at the TV yesterday watching the Laker game. Way to go, Bulldog. Great game. Go, Lakers. Hopefully close it out on Sunday. And there's also something else I want to bring up. I was rather surprised by people coming out about David Letterman and his little jokes with Palin and, you know, about his her oldest daughter, and they just don't seem to get it. Hello, the dude is a comedian, you know, it's called a joke. And even when he was trying to apologize, he was sort of saying it with a little bit of sarcasm, and they still didn't even get it, and that's even on CNN, but whatever. Speaking of talking about shows, I want to elaborate. I have some very special guests coming up, or actually another special guest coming up on June 19th, Carrie Fezza, who is an astrologist and intuitive reader. You've heard her come on my show many times. In fact, she strangely enough predicted through her astrology evaluations of how our president, Obama, and the climate that we are in economically. Well, I'm pleased that going to have her on the 19th during the time what they call, you know, the celebration of the summer solstice thing, and she's going to do analysis for us on that day. And then that's on June 19th, and then on June 26th, I told everybody, I'm compelled to speak of, and I'll just talk of Ezekiel, and that is all I'll have to say. You'll know what I'm talking about. Pick it up and what's happening. I also want to remind everybody this Saturday, actually tomorrow, June 13th, from 1 to 5 p.m., I'm having a book signing event at the Barnes Noble Crossroads Commons, that's in the west part of Las Vegas, or some people call Summerlin, at 8915 West Charleston. That's, I believe, approximately near Durango. So if any of you are out here, please come down, say hello, whatever. I'm going to be there from 1 to 5 on June 13th tomorrow. And if you or have some friends of yours who are going to be in the Las Vegas area or whatever and don't wake up with a hangover, you come down, and I will be also at the Borders at Town Square at 6521 Las Vegas Boulevard. That's the south of the Strip, and I'll be there from 1 to 3 p.m., and that is on June 20th, and that is from 1 to 3 p.m., and right after that, I have to make a mad dash to to L.A. I feel like Fear and Loathing to L.A. because I'm going to see some old friends and go to a party and whatnot and eat some popcorn and hot dogs or whatever. Well, I can't eat really hot dogs. I can't eat no more pig lips anymore, any of those weird things. But anyway, also people out there who've heard me, I highly emphasize you to all check this movie out. I've spoken it so many times. I had him as a guest, Ben Stewart, of course, who I'm talking about. It's Stewart. Go on to YouTube, and please do check out his movie called Chematica. It is a highly evolved, enlightened movie that breaks down the esoterics along with science and our dynamics, how we really are all one a consciousness, and the problem is our divorce of nature, and it's very, very really lays things out. And believe me, coming from someone who studied Kabbalism, you can see the relationship between Kabbalism, Native Americanism, and et cetera, all the way down to all the scriptures or the very basics of everything and how things have been separated. And again, please do check that out. I highly recommend it. It will open your eyes and give you a new perspective of more aligned to what the universe really is aligned. And this is not me telling you, just check it out. See yourself. You know how I say this everybody has their own view, but this gives you the opportunity to see a new dimension as it is. Now, I do have a, like I said, a very, very special guest. I've been trying to get her on my show for, I guess, about a month now. She has been well known through the music industry. People have sought after her for both her writing and singing skills. You've probably heard her many, many times on several different movies. You know, like, you know, if you watched Little City or Girl Talk by Miramax, she's had songs on there. And yeah, like I said, she's very well known, and she has an exquisite voice, of you, as you've heard me play just the song Asia, and as well as Strange Child. And I'm pleased and feel very honored to have Susan Tony on my show. And Susan, I hope you're still there.
I am still here, Andrew. I'm enjoying what you're saying so much.
Oh, okay. I thought I was going to put you to sleep there for a second.
No. I'm wide awake.
Tell Sonia, wake you up, slap you up and down.
I'm wide awake.
Well, at least you are. Me, it's hard for me to get up in the morning. No, hey, I'm up, okay? I drink a couple espressos, but at least double shots. That's how addictive I am to Java. But, you know, a lot of people, when they talk about artists, you know, whatever musicians, the first thing that pops in their heads is, you know, how they relate to that musician, because they see the facade of this, like, commercial side of, you know, that cartoon-like character of who they are. You know, and then to the real knows, they're like, you know, they do have feelings and how they approach their music. So basically what I'm asking is, could you tell a little of your background and tell us, you know, basically about your background?
Okay. Well, I try to shorten that separation between myself and other people. You know, just like you were talking about earlier, people have gotten disconnected from, you know, from nature, of course, that our Creator created, and from our Creator, from God. And I try to pull that gap narrower and really be touchable. I really want to be a real, transparent, touchable artist, because the things that I'm experiencing are parallel to many things that many people all over the world are experiencing. We all share feelings and needs for love and kindness and respect and dignity, and so, you know, anything that I'm able to affect out of myself, you know, will certainly help anyone else grow or feel loved or connected and hopefully heal. So I want to be touchable. I don't want to be a cartoon character, and I just want to say, hey, you know, we're all in this journey together. We're getting prepared, you know, to go back home, and let's love each other and make it easier for each other along the way.
Well, that would be my closing question now. Dude, that was put. Okay, finish, show's over. Okay. No, but, I was thinking, I know that was pretty good though, but I was thinking of more like, because you got from A to Z, but a lot of people, like, I know from your songs and stuff, and like here you're talking about journeys and you're relating, and it seems like, and it's sort of funny because that's sort of what I'm in a relationship. I don't know, I guess it may be when you hit that past the near, I don't know how you are, but when you get close to the century mark or half century mark, you start maybe getting that little old man or old woman wisdom thing, and or some of the Native Americans call the elders. And yeah, it's through the experiences that you've had in the past. So that's what I was asking is, you know, as a background to your own, how you grew up, how you were raised and stuff like that, can elaborate so that people can identify what you went through, so they can say, oh, wow, I went through the same thing, or a young kid who's going through the same thing at the moment.
Absolutely. Well, I was raised in, I was born in Norman, yeah, Oklahoma. And my dad was an attorney, so we moved to quite a few different places. He was sought after as a corporate attorney, and so I basically, as a child, before I even ever got to college, I had already lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Kansas City, Beaumont, Texas, Stillwater, Norman, Oklahoma, New York, St. Louis, Dallas, Texas, Irving, Texas, and Houston, Texas. That's before I ever even got to college. So I got to see as a really young child that, hey, wait a minute, everybody thinks they're so different, but wow, they're really not. They might have a different, you know, dialect, they might have a different language, they might have a different accent, and, you know, they might root more for their basketball team here in this town, and they might root more for their football team here in this town, but we're so centrally similar, you know, just as we're all beautifully unique, we're all so similar in so many ways. So, you know, so I went through a lot of experiences early on that kind of showed me that people all need the same thing, really, and you know, made me start wanting to understand people from all these different perspectives, and it really started turning on that writer's mind that I have. And you know, God gave me a gift of melody and of tying stories together and saying them in a simple way so other people could universally understand. You know, so I started coming from that place as a little kid, and then growing into that as I developed as an adolescent and an adult.
So basically, it sounds like you almost started your writing your experiences from a young child.
Yeah, I really did. I loved poetry, and I loved music, and I loved relating to people.
So how old were you when you started writing?
I think I really started writing in about the third or the fourth grade.
Wow, that's pretty well. That's amazing. And so then, basically, I would say you're a lawyer brat then, instead of an army brat, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a lawyer
really
brat, right?
Yeah. And I've never heard, because I never really seen too many. I mean, I've never. On my uncle's side, he was an attorney, but he's a state attorney. So I was around attorneys a lot, unfortunately. And sorry, because you know, some people have this weird impression of attorneys. It was really new to see them moving around, unless it was, I guess, in his type of lawyer thing that, which I could see possibly running around, that you are able to see different aspects and different peoples and how they are living, which, you know, it's unique because I think amongst most people tend to live in their own little bubble. And and that's probably the problem where they, and even when they live near, like there's another group of people living near them, they constantly look for division and separation as opposed to looking to the similarities. It's like I lived in the Middle East for 6 years, and you and I have a common friend that actually took her there, and she said one thing that hit me, and it was sort of funny because I had thought the same thing about. During the 80s when I lived there, and I was in Lebanon, seeing one Christians on one hill and Muslim another, and these rockets fly back and forth, and she said the common thing is God, they all want to live in separate hills so they know who they can shoot at, and they don't even know who they're shooting at, but once if they look and see that they're all real similar and they were like merged together, they really would look alike. Like I remember seeing, and this is not to get off tangent here, which I have hate to do, but I remember somebody took, because they're always assuming like Israelis are European, which they're not, and they took the child of an Arab child and a Jewish child, or Palestinian or Israeli child, whatever you want to call it, and they took them, and people couldn't tell the difference. And that was the whole point, because they're the same people.
Absolutely.
And yet it's the same thing even in the United States, and people tend, like here this guy went around killing people, they tend to be a fear of culture. Now, culturally, we have different aspects and perspectives only because our teachings and some things are things that are embedded, and that is true. You know, we have our own perspectives. But I think the biggest problem is everything that's my way or the highway, then as opposed to relating to them on their, you know, and respecting each other's cultures and perspectives, and not realize that we're all really the same, which you uniquely had that unique experience as a child, and it seems like very few kids have that, and unfortunately, you know, that is. But did you ever, I know, because I noticed in your music though that you have a lot, besides a lot of love, there's like almost like a bubble blowing up, there's a lot of elements of both romantic love and other love, but there seems like a bubble popping out within your music, like almost like a frustrated element that you got. It's like, I'm going to scream up on top of the roof, I can't take it anymore, but I've got to do it in the key of minor, you know, of minor B or whatever. So is that, because what I'm asking is are you, is this your framework, how you, things that you feel about around you that you obviously as an artist just expose into your music?
I really believe so. And, you know, a really good example of what you were talking about that, you know, from a kid's point of view, of what you're talking about is I remember when I moved from Dallas, Texas to St. Louis, they really, you know, the kids, they really thought that there were cowboys and Indians, you know, in Texas. And so they were asking about that. And it is this thing where people have, they have beliefs about someone or where they live that are not quite accurate, you know. And so that's what, like you were saying, that's what keeps us separated, because people, you know, they think, wow, they're really different. You know, there's cowboys and Indians there, and they don't realize that we're the same. We need the same thing. We need love and respect and kindness. And you know, we all have beliefs and we all have faith, and we're all just trying to do our best and to get home. And there's so much passion in my music because, you know, the world is a lovely place, but also it's a place where people that have been hurt very badly, who perhaps don't have the tools to heal, can be very difficult. You know, they can be very difficult to be around and to interact with, and you know, to try to reach them is frustrating and hard and sometimes hurtful also. So, you know, there's that element of continually trying to reach people and trying to communicate, trying to understand them, and then trying to be understood. So, yeah, that's where my passion comes from. And of course, I'm watching other people all around me, you know, be very successful at it and sometimes be unsuccessful at it. And, you know, that's just, like you said, all on these different hills, you know, everybody in their different little groups, you know, that's what's going on all over the world. And, so I'm just trying to bring people back to their heart and back to that common place where we all feel and we need and we love and we hurt and we want, you know, we want safety and we want respect and dignity. So I'm just trying to bring that back. And I take people through my own experiences of sometimes I've been, you know, gone through difficult things in my life where I've been hurt, but I've been transformed by those things that have hurt me as well. And I want to help other people heal and be transformed.
Yeah, because speaking of that, that's like you're in your song Hollywood, which is really people who, you know, thinking Hollywood is all glamour, but there's a lot of people who go through some serious hardships, you know, because there's a lot of, it's not sometimes a pretty atmosphere. Sometimes there's some very, I mean, I always see in Hollywood there's like two sides. There's a very dark side who,
yeah,
you know, people treat people like pieces of meat and just, use them, spit them out as they need them. And then there's actually a very enlightened side where people try to, and I know because I've worked on sets, that you maybe fight in the beginning and then all of a sudden you're like the closest of family and you're better, more, and then when the film set is over and the film's over, everybody's crying because they got a split, and it shows this collectiveness of all these artists, and then even the film itself, people put all this energy into it, and there's two dynamics, like I said, but it's funny how your song shows the other side that people don't see of the people who go through a lot of hardships for their mm-hmm. dreams and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to go on another, not to separate a tangent, but are you a Native American?
I am. I've got a little bit of Cherokee Indian and a little bit of Osage Indian, and the Cherokee comes from my father's side. My great-great-great-grandmother was full-blood Cherokee, and evidently she had the most lovely, lovely, lovely voice, and children followed her in droves, and she could play any instrument, anything she picked up she could play. My grandfather, on my father's side, was a lead singer in a country band. He owned a dairy farm, and he was a cowboy, and he was a lead singer in a country band. And on my mother's side, my grandmother, her background, she had a little tiny bit of Osage Indian plus English, and then my grandfather on my mother's side is Dutch German. So I have all that mixture in me. I have a little English, I have a little Cherokee Indian, I have a little Dutch German, a little Scottish. You know, it's all mixed together in there.
Do you relate to any of your, since you were living in Oklahoma, because I have a lot of friends who are actually Native Americans out in that area, friends of mine. Do you have any spiritual, do you work with any of spiritualism within Native Americans?
I love the American Indian culture, and my father was actually, speaking of being a corporate attorney, he was the Chief Justice of the Cherokee Nation for many years, and so that was pretty neat. So I've talked to Chief Mankiller before, who was a Cherokee chief, and delightful, beautiful, wise woman. And so since I was a little kid, I mean, I looked like an Indian. You know, I was the little girl in the class that looked like she was, you know, had some American Indian in her for sure. It really came out in my cheekbones and in my structure and everything, the way I'm built, and my almond eyes and everything. But I really always felt very close to nature and very connected. It just felt like I had a little extra something, a little area of understanding from my Native American heritage that perhaps other people who have not had that background didn't have. But I've always felt very close to nature and to other people, and very spiritually connected to other people. My own personal path is I'm a Christian, but I certainly, you know, relate and have a great fondness and love for the Indians' spiritual nature and everything that they all share.
So you incorporate within the Judeo-Christian and Native American beliefs, incorporate it into your belief system, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because because I noticed that when you were talking about it, it's like ditto of Native American. Specifically, I know like the Hopis and the Apache, they have that vision of, first of all, the universe, that we're all creators and how it's all split up and how we're all identified together. And almost pretty much what you're talking about, and how we have to, we're re-emerging back. Actually, it's a Hopi prophecy that we're returning back to where we're from, or what they call the Tuana, the universal source. But in their eyes, the universal source is, I don't want to get into it because State Tomorrow's getting a freak out because it goes a whole other thing about going back to Israel, which is actually their real roots. Actually, they're actually
absolutely
now found to be the cousins of the Jews, or called Jews,
right.
But that's a whole
absolutely
other thing. But yeah, I know, and they're freaking out.
We have to
actually
go to Israel together sometime, Andrew. That would
be
fun.
But actually, I have to say this. I've been asked to meet with some of the elders of both of the Hopi and some of the Navajo tribes and whatnot, and I look forward to meeting them.
That's so beautiful.
I found out I'm like the first non-Native American to meet with them in 30 years since Peter Waters, who wrote the Book of the Hopis.
Yes.
But
I think that's lovely.
So I feel pretty astounded about doing that. But
yeah.
Anyway, not to get on a different tangent.
No, that's so
about
congratulations.
Me.
That's no,
yeah.
No. It's you're doing some phenomenal things, Andrew, and you have so much to give and share. And I'm so glad that you're going to be, you know, speaking with them and enjoying that relationship. That's beautiful.
Well, see, I'm doing sort of like, in a sense, what you're doing, and I don't look at it as me-ism. I look at it as, to me, I'm just like a messenger, and anything
there
I
you
do
go.
Is from, you know, the I believe God in the universe giving to me, and I'm just like the conduit, and that's all. I just step back, and I found a lot of people who get into spiritualism. The biggest problem, which, and when they start doing the me-ism, and it's all about me, and then they put on this thing, and then they go on their Facebook and says, look how many people are on my Facebook now, I can't believe it. Then I'm going, oh my God, what has, and I'm like one individual,
right.
I'm not going to use his name, you know, I really, listened to what he had to say, and now he's got this me-ism stuff going on.
Yeah.
projecting stuff. And I've hit different people, and people like want to come on my show. I had a person who wanted to come on my show, a representative, and you know, I'll even say that another group that I know of, it's called the Council Realis, and they're like total cultish, but it's like they look at a person like a divinity, and whatever they say is absolute, and it's like, oh my God, this is the opposite, you know?
And, yeah,
and
exactly.
And even within Christianity, I think people don't realize what, personally, when I talk to Christians, they don't understand what Jesus was all about, and sometimes Jews get upset when I talk about this, because you know, I don't put the, you know, everybody has their own view of the Savior or whatever, but I don't think that was the important thing. If you looked onto the books of St. Thomas and especially Mary Magdalene, it was actually a feminine and masculine relationship that was transpondent. And his most important thing he was teaching was love and God within you, not to go out to a church, not to go through him, not to go, but to realize it's the reconnection. He was trying to cut off the authoritative thing, which, and again, is almost like I hear in your songs, like you're wanting to, you know, you don't have to go outside to connect
Absolutely.
Your love to the universe or to people around you. You don't need a rabbi, a priest, or a minister, or a mullah, or imam, or whatever. You don't need a church or synagogue or mosque. It's you. You're your own connection. And I think that's really great how you are doing it. And then you're doing it, it's a situation where people have different parallels with their own experiences within relationships, which people tend to get caught up into the trivia of little stupid things like we all do. Like, you know, I lost contact. In fact, that song that you played, Asia, for example, hit me because I had a up and down relationship with somebody, and over such stupid thing, we didn't talk. After, I didn't want to talk to her, and then we lost contact. And then here it's been 13 years, and I know there's a, you know, we've always, she was probably one of my deep connected, you know, whatever, because you never know. Everything has, you can meet somebody, another person next time, but in the future, but I knew it was sad over something. People get upset over trivia stuff, and they fight over trivia things. And it's really sad. And it's not just in relationships that you show, like in your own music, but you also show in the dynamics within in just friends and things around us. And I think
in countries.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other thing. But
yeah.
You point out the most important thing. See, the thing is that hit me with your songs when you get in talking about love. My spiritual mom, when she passed away, right before she passed away, Janice Sinclair, one thing I mean was like on her deathbed, she stood up and she was actually just spinning off. She had her eyes were changing. Her eyes are green. They're changing blue and green back and forth. She had an ambiance of such light around her. I mean, it literally light up the room. The room was dimmed out of light. The whole room was lit up from her aura. It was unreal. And I never forget the thing she said that was the most important. She says, the most important thing that you have to realize is love in this plane, in this on earth. That is the most important thing in this experience, in this embodiment, because that's the key to healing and enduring and and learning to grow. And that's it, you know, and it's so, people
Absolutely.
Make, you know, like millions of books and help books and make things up as they go along. But it goes back to that love, and includes self-learning to love yourself, as well as learning to love others and loving Earth. I mean, it's all that, and you know, that's what I love about your music. I mean, it really transits.
Thank you so much.
Now I got a question. Go off to a different.
You know what my next? You know what my next album title is? It's called "Love Is the Cure."
Wow, that's cool. So
that's my
cool
next
title.
The next title of my album, and it'll be one of the songs on the album is called "Love Is the Cure." And recently I started writing a song that's called Love Is All There Is. And one of the first lines in the song is, love is all there is, everything else is just a misunderstanding. And you know, that's the basis of us all making it through this journey, you know, is getting to that understanding, and everything heals from that place, you know, relationships heal from that place, our relationship with, you know, God comes back together from that place. Everything works, you know, from that place. When we walk away from fear and we turn to love, everything starts working.
Yep, that's for ditto. That's for sure. But I have to ask you a question. And this goes a little bit toward the your creative aspects of your music.
Yeah.
What I noticed that you are, your music tends to be sort of country slash slight blues, a little goth, funky rock and rollish folks. I'd say like Joni Mitchell twing to it. What is first of all? What is your the music that you like try to incorporate? What do you like listen to, and how do you, or artists that you look up to, and when you create your music, what do you identify your music to be? I know that's a multifaceted question.
Okay.
But.
Well, I think first of all, I think my music would be called alternative country, you know, pop, because pop really is just means that all that means is that the music is melody driven, and I'm a real believer in writing a strong melody. You got to put a floor under somebody's feet before you hit them with words that are going to make them fall down or jump up and enjoy or need to really sit down and think. You know, you got to put put something under their feet before you walk them into those different rooms that you're taking them into with lyrics. And so I really believe that melody is king, you know, and I think all of the great writers throughout time, I was classically trained, and I think all the way through classical music and all of the great pop, jazz, country, everybody that's been a great writer, you know, melody has been a foundation, and it's a formula that can't be broken, because if you don't write a good melody, you can't. It's the way we were designed, you know. It's like the bird singing; you won't be able to remember it. You know, we were designed very intricately and very simply at the same time. And when you write a melody that works, it goes into you. You know, it's like food for your soul and for your body, and it can heal you, and it can open your mind and your heart and you know, your ears and your eyes. You can suddenly see things differently and hear things differently, and you know, it just changes your awareness. So I really come from that place as a writer. And in terms of influences, there have been so many influences in my music, because you know, I love the R&B, and I love black music and soul music. I love some rap, and I love classical music, and you know, so much great country music, you know, in the you know, Patsy Cline and Johnny Cash you know, just the greats. Joni Mitchell, you know, was very influential with me. But I tried to take all of that in and then become something new, you know. So I really do just sound like Susan Tony. I don't sound like, oh, that sounds like this or that sounds like that. You know, I really think God gave me a unique voice and helped me come up with a unique voice to speak with. And so, you know, in terms of there's just continually always new wonderful music out there, but I try not to listen to anything to copy anything. You know, my stuff is not come from any other place. You know, it's a unique perspective and a unique melody coming out ready for, you know, for people to digest. But you know, I certainly like everybody that's got something to say and who has said something that's been wonderful. You know, I have had a lot of influences that have been incredible.
Yeah, but every artist pulls out pieces, whether one dimension or another. I mean, people see, when they see my writing, they start comparing me to Kurt Vonnegut, and then at times they say, you're like Hunter S. Thompson, and then you have like a Poe in there.
Of course.
And they'll try to pick your pieces, and he says, well, of course, that's like some of my favorite writers or whatever.
Yeah.
So you're naturally, maybe unconsciously or subconsciously, put perspective of styles within it, you know, that way, and putting it there. But then it's because it's your unique pull together of your, what they call like a palette, because also draw, but like your own palette is put together with your own colors. You may have taken colors from different artists, but now because you've collaged it together to uniqueness and you put it on, then it becomes your own thing. Yeah, and it's like that's what people, you know, and now there are definitely copycatters. I mean, like, you know, people, you know, like, I remember listening to Lenny Kravitz, for example, and I didn't, when he first came out, and then I was hearing this song, and I go, and the first, I didn't even know it was, I was listening in the beginning of it, and go, and I listen to one of my favorite artists is Jimi Hendrix, and I'm hearing the beginning, and I go, wait, oh, that's Voodoo Child coming on. I turn it up. Wait a second, that's not Voodoo Child. And I know the beginning of Voodoo Child, the whole big segment, was literally copied right off and stamped right on his song. I forgot which one it was, one of his. I was going, dang, man, God. Which, I don't even get into Lenny Kravitz, that he's a woman beater, but that's a whole other thing. Poor little Lisa Bonet, but, there are certain artists I know that, you know, and they, you know, admit, hey, you know what, I pull a little piece here, a piece there, I relate to them, and that's why I put it in there.
Yeah.
But then when it comes out of, I don't like to say the meat grinder here, but when it's put out back onto the canvas, so to speak, then it's your reflection of you, which is the whole uniqueness, you know, of the art, and which is, and then it becomes a perspective when people, which is really weird. It's funny, I mean, you probably put out your music and you're with your intention of communicating something out there, and then somebody will listen to it, and it's so funny, they'll say, they'll see something totally different, and you're like, that's not even what I was trying to say, but they'll have a different aspect of what you just said on your music, which is sort of strange.
I think what's wonderful about that is that you can speak to 10,000 people and they'll each get exactly what they need. You know, and I think that's how beautifully we're made, you know, is that it just all works out so efficiently and perfectly like that. You know, we're each getting what we need moment by moment from whoever is speaking to us, whether we realize it or not. And, you know, that's, you know, being supplied to us by our loving creator, because, you know, knows us intimately, knows where we are and what we need to grow and to heal. And, you know, Carol King, Joni Mitchell, Roberta Flack, Elton John, the Beatles, oh my gosh, just opera singers, Patsy Cline, as I said, you know, so many people have.
That's
have
by the way, only. I hate to say
many,
the only.
So many people, Linda Ronstadt, that, you know, Joni Mitchell.
Yeah. That happens to be the like the two country music I could pretty much handle is Patsy Cline and Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
They're like my favorite, but the other country is like very hard for me to listen to. And it just happened because I knew somebody. It was my dad's old partner, and he was from Texas, and he'd play Hank Williams over and over and all this old country stuff. And it was like the old thing where you lose your your house, you lose your woman, they killed your dog. And it was so...
White man blues.
And the only slash coast of country that I could handle that I did like was... You know, like the old Marshall Tucker bands, Allman Brothers,
sure, they were great.
The rock country stuff. But that was only like stuff I could really handle. And then you have folksy sort of country, if you want to call it. I mean, Dylan had it, and there's a whole bunch of others, and can't think on top of my head. But there's definitely some country artists I used to like listen to that were more sort of folksy, but. That's why I put on everybody goes on my MySpace. I put on there, oh, I listened to and lost this, and I had to pray to the rock gods I would never listen to country.
I think I'm more pop alternative rock, and then, you know, country's just kind of, and blues and country's just kind of woven in there, probably because, you know, from living in the Southwest for a portion of my life, I love storytelling and I love listening to people, you know, and hearing about their stories. And there's kind of a very gentle, unpretentious way that they have of telling a story. And, you know, so I've woven some of that into my songwriting.
So like sort of ballad like.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a way. But I know, and it's funny because I when I lived up, I went to school UC Davis, and actually, I played a banjo for a little bit. I haven't played it in, God, 30 years now. I got into listening to bluegrass because I started hearing that they were really into bluegrass back then. And then, you know, yeah, everybody had it. But it's funny that how all these, this, the music, how can, you know, influence somebody, not even just within their own, if they're an artist in music, but also in their own taste. But what obviously you play guitar, because I see you with a guitar even in your pictures. But what other instruments do you play besides a guitar?
Okay, well, I play, like you said, I play acoustic and electric guitar, and I play piano. I play keyboard, synthesizer, and got to play the same Chamberlain that the Beatles used on their, a lot of their albums. I got to play that on Strange Child, so that was real fun. And
wow.
And of course the voice, my main instrument.
Wow. And
I studied classical guitar. I studied classical guitar at SMU, and
so that's how. What's your when you talk of classical music? What's your are you talking like classical background as far as classical music? Like you know, when people think classical, they think like Beethoven, Mozart,
I'm
Bach.
I'm talking about Kowalski. Mozart, Beethoven, all of those.
So you really had a
writers.
Basic of all that kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a background in that.
And that's probably, and that's where your pianist style, the piano incorporation. Like,
I think that's where my melody writing skill comes from. Is just understanding music phrases and melodies.
Hmm.
Which in popular music they call finding a hook. You know, in popular music, that's called a hook, and in classical music, it's called a phrase. So, you know, when you understand them, you know, they work real beautifully.
And besides doing and creating music, do you have any other artistic ways of expressions, such as drawing, painting?
I do. I love. I was also an art major, a studio art major. And a film and television major, and ended up getting my master's degree in film and television production, writing, and directing. But I do have a bachelor's degree in fine art, and I studied painting and sculpting and photography, and, you know, really, really love art, and still paint quite a bit. And there's some talk of doing some shows of some of my work, so. But that's another avenue for me. I love to paint.
So with oil on canvas?
With oil and with watercolor both.
Wow. And do you and as far as on film, you said you obviously have a deep background of film. What have you done regarding that aspect?
Well, what I've done with film is I've worked in most of the major studios in Los Angeles. I've done camera work, assistant camera work. I've done first and second camera assisting in film, and I've done camera operating and camera assistant work in television. I've done a lot of work for PBS and for news channels, so I've been, you know, out there with the Betacam on my shoulder, like you see some of the news people. I used to do a lot of specials, and I've hung out of helicopters upside down with cameras and all kinds of things. I've done a lot.
You've basically been multifaceted through all your life. You've done like from music to painting
to film
to television,
uh-huh,
to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, that's pretty in depth. God, you can write a whole, I'd say, book on that.
I've been on both sides of the camera.
Yeah,
now I'm on the front side of the camera where it's watching me.
And speaking of that, I understand that you've had a documentary made of you.
I did. Yeah, a friend of mine, Teresa Crespo Hartendorp, filmed me while I was making Strange Child. And did it for me as a gift, because I've helped her with some other projects, and then I hired her to edit that for me, and so that's about finished. We're just doing a little audio post production on it, and then after that will be put out, so that'll be fun.
And when do you anticipate that being released?
I anticipate that being released this year.
Wow. A lot of things. And do you have, and by the way, everybody, if you need to reach or check out, get her music, all you have to do is go right to her website, Susan Tony, right? T-O-N-E-Y.
That's, yeah, Susan, www.susantoney.com. And not too long from now, I'll be on Amazon and CD Baby, and you can probably find me on iTunes as well. The album's called Strange Child.
And then, and are you you're independent right now? Am I correct?
I have an independent record label, my own little record label called Strange Child Records.
See, and that seems like the norm now. It's funny because now it's like the music industry. Basically, the artists are taking control of their own art, which is sort of ironic. It's called Think What the Internet Can Do. It's sort of the same thing with me or writing. I mean, I went I went through similar things with people. Every time you go publishers, they want to curtail, change, manipulate your own writing, and then it really pisses you off because they want to change the theme, and they're offering you like monkey points anyway. So I might as well, if I'm gonna get monkey points, I'll work it on my system. So, but I end up doing independent, but I end up doing a contract, but on my terms. But I can relate to how a lot of artists out there now and how they're right now, now that it sort of seems like, specifically in the music tree, things are switching around where, they don't have to bend over to get their little points. They don't have to run around doing multiple shows where they make their money as opposed to getting monkey points in their contracts from
right. Music
labels, which people don't really overrun. They think all these billions and millions of dollars, well, there was, everybody remember what happened with TLC and how the much money they didn't really make when she sat down and told how much they made, like Left Eye when she passed away. People don't realize they don't make anything. And my whole, actually my on my mom's side of family, they were in the music industry, both sides, behind the scenes with Capitol Records, and those people were very pretty strange people. And then on the other side, I have one cousin who just recently passed away. He was the drummer for Knack, My Sharona. And then I have another cousin who actually played was the first drummer for Cream, and he was 16 years old, and my aunt didn't like it, so that's when Ginger Baker stepped in. And he, because my aunt was afraid he was going to get involved with drugs, like that, stop that.
Absolutely.
But then he became...
Protecting the family.
Yeah, but and ironically, he became a well-known artist actually over in Europe, in Holland, who he was the first person who developed, and this is what got realized, synthesized music.
Yeah.
Sounding music, free jazz, out of items. Like, he was a percussionist. He would make plastics and metals and things. And he played just
found
out
objects.
Of... Yeah, and he was able to create music out of it. He was real well-known. He used to call himself Too, T-O-O. And then he was developed a machine, which was pretty way ahead of his time, too, that was called a music machine that literally, it was an organ that sat in the center. It was made out of an organ. And as you moved around, the music of the instrument would change its melody and its song. It was really weird. It would pick up your the vibes. It was really weird how you did
how
it.
Beautiful.
But, so I saw both sides of both things. And it's amazing how things are now turning around.
I was offered a deal with MCA and with Universal Priority Records, and they just, as you said, sometimes those deals, if you look a little deeper into them, they're not going to be very good for you. So I, politely, thanked the people involved and stepped away from it. And about a year and a half ago, I got a distribution deal with IOTA Alliance. Things are always changing and evolving, and my hope is that not too long from now I'll find a deal that's structured, so that I can do what I do and do what I'm talented at and good at and love doing and bless as many people as possible. I mean, to me, I'm not really interested in fame, but I am very interested in being able to hand to as many people as possible, you know, something that might make their lives easier and might help them heal and feel better. So, you know, so the company that can give me access to more people, of course, will be helpful to do that. So, you know, that's in my prayers that a deal will come along which would bless not only me but a lot of other people that are able to become part of my audience.
That's amazing. And finally, what do you envision as far as your music toward in the view of the world? For what do you want to attempt to? What do you feel that you want to attempt to do as far as your music? I know you've elaborated it earlier.
Well,
back to the first question, which I laughed about because that was the last thing I was gonna.
Yeah. I just, as I said, I'm made out of clay just like everybody else, and I just want people to experience me as a real, loving, transparent human being that is walking on this path like everybody else is. And, you know, I just want to be able to touch people and help people heal those places where, you know, maybe their heart's gotten a little cold, or, you know, maybe they've turned away from, you know, their creator, or maybe they've turned away from their passion for life, or maybe they've lost hope or faith in themselves or in someone else. And, you know, maybe something that I say and the way that my voice sounds, you know, the way that my instrument sounds will soothe something in them that they can, you know, that they can turn around and stand back up and continue on their journey so that they can help and bless other people in their lives.
Wow, that's pretty beautiful. That's like, reminds me of a couple of things. It's like it's not the destination, it's the journey that's most important.
Absolutely. Absolutely,
Andrew. And it's also like Buddha had always said, and this is like one of my favorite saying, there's no way to happiness. Happiness is the way, which is basically, you know,
right.
Incorporates with your music. It's not like it's people, you know, not chasing it. It's just living it, trying to live it and be it. And then you'll have, you know, it's you know, and you always have it, basically. So, but Susan, I know we're at a tail end here, and I just want to thank you. It has been such an honor to have you on my show.
Andrew, it's been my honor and my pleasure to be so welcomed onto your show. And, you know, you're so evolved, and you're so lovely, and you're such a beautiful man. And, you know, your path, your spiritual path that you're on is so lovely. And, you know, thank you so much for including me in your show. I've so enjoyed it.
Okay, everybody, and that was Susan Tony, and thank you. And please do check out her website. Again, that's www.susantoney.com. Go to her site, check it out, check out her music, and if you need to, please contact me at flyingpigs@artlover.com or at MySpace account, MySpace/ Andrew Fetter. And I'll give you updates, or she can contact her directly through her website as well. I believe there's a contact thing there for her to contact her directly.
And you can find me on MySpace too.
And MySpace as well. and with that, God bless you all. And I close with her great song of Strange Hell. God bless you all, and have a great, lovely weekend.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
To my body as a child, they would.